It is an important and wonderful thing when someone hands you the Word of God and says, bring it to my people. Today's scripture is long, and I encourage you to read the parts that I will not share with you today, because it contains one of the most beautiful poems in the history of the world. But what the scripture is about at its beginning is the what and the why, and we do not always know the how. There's so much mystery in our relationship with God, and it almost always concerns the how. The what is the power and the might of God, and the why is His grace, always, always His grace. So are you facing a how that you don't understand, that you don't know what to do with? Hear now the word of God from the first chapter of Luke. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." She was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. This is the sixth month for her, who was said to be barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." And then the angel departed from her. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you kindly. I think he just shared the message that we all need to hear. That was very well said. Thank you so much. And right before the service, I asked him to read the scripture. And I normally don't do that because I believe I need to be fair in allowing people to prepare for a service just like I prepare for a service. But something in my spirit told me to ask Conley, and now I know why. Thank you, Conley. What a story. A young girl, so very young, but yet engaged, which back then was the same to be married. Except there was still no sexual relationship. A virgin. And an angel, Gabriel, comes and says, "Favored one, you shall deliver a child." And she asked a question that all of us would ask. How? And the angel said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child that is to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God." And so, when you come to the Apostles' Creed the next time, you'll see that we affirm this through our faith. "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary." Now here's an interesting insight. To most of us in this modern age, you might say our hair stands up on our head, for at least for some of us, because we go, "I don't understand the virgin birth. I know about biology. I know about how babies come into this world. And that seems to be a scandal to me that we would believe in a virgin birth. Well, let me tell you something. It wasn't that was the scandal to the people back in Jesus' day. That was not the scandal. The scandal was this, that the divine God would choose to enter into human history through the birth of a child and take on flesh. That was the scandal. Because God, in coming into human history and being born as a child and taking up flesh, meant that God Himself would be exposed to everything that we are exposed to. Violence. Suffering. And death. And a God is far removed from those things. And this is why the God of the Bible is so much different, because the scandal that we affirm is that God chose to do that. God chose that. Now, as I said, I cannot explain this birth of a virgin. But I can tell you the same thing that Conley just got through saying. It's not so much the how that we should concern ourselves, but with the meaning of it. Now, the meaning of this is that this child that was born was special. Very, very, very special. Now, in the Jewish faith, any time a child was born, a male or a female, they were called a son of God. Boy or girl, they were a son of God. But this one was called the Son of God. God was directly involved in the conception of this birth. And how, we don't know. But what it means is that God chose to be active in this story. And this birth came about as a result of God's divine activity in Mary. You know, we don't have to explain the virgin birth. We just need to enter into the mystery of it and the scandal of it, that God would choose to enter into human history as a child and take up flesh and to suffer as we suffer and to die as we die. But yet all of that to give us life. Now, here's what we believe about Jesus. We believe that Jesus is fully human, while at the same time, He's fully divine. And that's why in most sanctuaries, if you look at this altar table, you'll find two candles. Well, one candle would represent the fullness of God's humanity. The other one would represent the fullness of God's divinity. That both are combined together. But the important thing, though, is this, is that the very essence of God, the very stuff of God, is enfleshed in Jesus' life. So He's fully divine and fully human at the same time. Again, that is a mystery that we simply enter into. And the way that we enter into it is like this. If Jesus was only human, He would understand us. He would share our same experiences. But He wouldn't have the power to deliver us from sin and death. Now, on the other hand, if Jesus was only divine, as some people would say, no, He doesn't take up flesh, He's just simply divine. But wait a minute, if Jesus is simply divine, He's so much wholly other that He has no contact with us. And so we as Christians believe that He is fully human, experiencing all that we experience, exposed to all that we're exposed, suffering and death, while at the same time fully divine. He has the power to deliver from sin and death. He's Son of God. And when people ask me about what I believe about God, I'm not going to proclaim that I know the mind of God. God is just, how do you take it in? God is more than mind can think, lips can speak, and the heart can conceive. But I can say this, everything I need to know about God, I see in Jesus. Now, the important thing that we're talking about right now is not our explanations, but about our confessions. Jesus asked Peter, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of God. And that's what we say about Jesus. Thou art the Christ, the Son of God. It is confession that we make, not explanation. We confess our faith that in this person, we see the fullness of God. We see who God is in this person. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God. Colossians 1st chapter, verse 19. In Him was the fullness of God pleased to enter. It's a confession that we make that Jesus is Son of God. And of course, we hear Him pray to God as Abba Father. We hear at His baptism how the heavens opened and a voice from heaven said, This is My beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. It's all mystery, but what we're talking about here is confession about Jesus Christ, Son of God. And this is good news. And the reason it is good news is this. Whatever we go through in life, the good, the bad, or the in-between, we don't do it alone. Because Jesus was human and took up flesh, though divine, He's gone before us. He's gone before us. He's hallowed all of life. He's gone through it all, and He is willing to go through it all again with us. And to share with us, to help bear our sorrows, to help bear our griefs, to share our hurts, to share our shame. Sometimes we just want someone to understand us, and we find what a friend we have in Jesus because He listens and He understands. And to confess that He is Son of God is good news because we know that He has the power not just to understand, but He has the power to transform the sorrow into joy. Because you see, He already experienced all of this in the cross. And then out of the tomb came resurrection. He's already gone through it all. And He's willing to go through it with us again and to help us. And He has the power to do that. It's good news. It's good news to affirm Jesus as fully human and fully divine. It's good news to proclaim Jesus as Son of God. I have a breath prayer. I have three breath prayers. I try to sing them on a regular basis. The first breath prayer is the oldest Christian prayer there probably is. It's been said more times than probably any other prayer, including the Lord's Prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. This is good news. Mercy, goodness, they follow us in Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus didn't come just so we could feel different. He came so we could be different. And that's what happens at the table. God's grace is made available to us wherever we are to bring us to that point of belief. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. His grace is able to bring us to that point of belief, to bring us to that point of confession. Thou art the Christ, the Son of God. But the grace is also available to bring us to the point of being able to live in response to that truth, which means to be different. And we are different. Because when Jesus was here, he was asked by Pontius Pilate, "So you're the king, king of the Jews. You're the king. If you say I'm the king, I am the king. So you don't deny it. You're the king." He says, "All right. Now," that cost him his life because it was blasphemy to claim to be God. It was blasphemy to proclaim to have the power of a king, and he was only human in their sight. But no one understood what he was talking about because in the midst of all of this, he said, "But you see, you got to understand something. There's something different about my kingdom. It's not like the kingdoms of this world. My kingdom is different. Power is not exercised in dominion over people. Power is exercised through suffering love on behalf of other people." And Jesus took the left outs and no longer left them out. We live according to a kingdom that is different from the kingdom of this world. And so here at this table, we're given grace to come to belief, grace to come to confession, and grace to come to not only feel different, but to be different. And that's good news. Do you know that God can make you different? God can give you a strength that is not your own, to give you belief, to give you trust, to give you hope. This is one of the most hopeful scriptures there is. And I'll tell you why. With God, all things are possible. Now, hearing that, you're invited to come to this table. With God, all things are possible. We begin with the invitation to communion. Come to the Lord's table, all you who love Him. Come to the Lord's table, confess your sin. Come to the Lord's table, be at peace. We have not believed you or trusted in your power. Lord, help our unbelief. We have stained our souls by our action and inaction. Cleanse us, Lord. We are broken by disease, bruised by the sins of others, weakened and unable to repair ourselves. Heal us, Lord. We ignore your call to center our lives in you and so are deaf to the hopes and cries of the poor, the sick, the needy, and the earth. Ground us, Lord. When we confess our sinful ways, God abundantly pardons. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are all forgiven. Glory to God. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up to you, Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Holy Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. From the rising of the sun to its setting, your name is praised among all peoples. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to the glory of your name. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. You are holy, Almighty One. Blessed are you, Jesus Christ. In the power of your Spirit, you created all things. Bless them and call them good. You call to yourself a people to make your mercy and truth known in all the world. We betrayed your calling. You were faithful. We wandered from the way. You called us to return and led us home. And still we turned from your ways, abused your creatures, and made ourselves slaves to sin and death. At the right time you came and dwelt among us as one of us, bringing good news to the poor, healing the sick, raising the dead, sharing table with the unrighteous, and teaching the way that leads to life. By the incarnation, life, suffering, execution, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery, made a new covenant with us by water and the Spirit, and receive us and all your saints to yourself in glory everlasting. On the night of your betrayal, Lord Jesus, you took bread, blessed it, broke it, gave it to your disciples, and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." You did the same with the cup after the supper, saying, "This cup that is poured out is the new covenant in my blood." Blessed Trinity, in remembrance of all you have done to save us, we offer ourselves to you in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of our faith. Christ has come among us. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ abides with us. Christ will come again. Pour out your Spirit on us. Pour out your Spirit on us. Pour out your Spirit on these gifts. Pour out your Spirit on these gifts. Make these gifts the body and blood of Christ. Make us through them Christ's body alive in the world. Abba, Father, let your kingdom come. Glory to you. Come, Lord Jesus. Glory to you. Holy Spirit,
send us to the world.
Glory to you.
Glory to you.
Holy Blessed Trinity,
one God forever.
Glory to you.
Glory to you.
Let us pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.